Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we got a very busy afternoon drive coming your way. We got to talk a lot of local sports and some national. Here's what we have coming up on the show. Of course, tonight right here on KOAL, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team will make their return to the court. They'll take on the Richfield Wildcats. Always fun when these two teams get together. It's a rematch of last year's semifinals. Teams do look drastically different than what we saw them looking like last year in the semifinal matchup. Still should be a very entertaining game. On our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak, the Carbon Dino boys basketball squad will open up the region portion of the season against the South Sevier Rams. So Emory here tonight at 6:30 p.m. live coverage beginning. Same on our sister station, KRPX, for Carbon High School. We talked to Coach Cincinnatus yesterday. We'll talk today to Coach Jared Butler. He's going to join us over the phone. That's coming up in just a bit. It is January 8th. On January 22nd, 2 weeks away, we have junior college athletics making its return. It's been so long since we've had actual USU Eastern sports taking place. It's going to be very, very busy at the college. And so Athletic Director Scott Madsen will join us over the phone today. We'll go over everything that you need to know as far as the JUCO season, the protocols, and even the BDAC. It is open to the public, but hours are going to be changing here relatively soon. So we'll talk to Coach Madsen about that. And I want to talk NBA basketball. The Utah Jazz, the Milwaukee Bucks, that game will not air here tonight on KOAL. Instead, it'll be Emory High School basketball. The Jazz looking to end a two-game losing skid. We'll talk Jazz Bucks. We'll also talk about the Hornets and the Pelicans. Lonzo Ball versus LaMelo Ball. You know what? LeVar Ball's done a pretty good job, man. He's got three kids that have signed contracts in the NBA. LiAngelo didn't really make it, but he signed a contract in the NBA. So we'll talk some NBA basketball. That's coming up in just a bit. The top story in the national sports scene, a very sad day for Major League Baseball. Los Angeles Dodger manager and Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda has passed away at the age of 93. I mean, he had 71 years he spent with the Dodger franchise. 71. The Dodgers said today that he suffered heart failure at his home in California. Resuscitation attempts were made on the way to the hospital where he was pronounced dead just shortly after 11 p.m. That was actually last night. But he had a history of heart problems, including a heart attack in 96, and that ended his managerial career, and then he had another in 2012. When you look at what Tommy Lasorda accomplished, yeah, he was fiery. I mean, this guy was fiery. He was a player's manager. He went 1,599 and 1,439. That was his record. Won World Series championships in 1981 and 1988, won four National League pennants, eight division titles, all while serving as the Dodger manager from 77 to 96, and then he went to the Hall of Fame in 1997 as a manager, and then he guided the USA to a baseball gold medal at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. This guy is everything that a Hall of Famer, he checks off every box. One of the greatest managers in Los Angeles Dodger history. A very sad day. Tommy Lasorda passing away at the age of 93. Elsewhere in the national sports scene, if you're not a Michigan fan, I think it's good news. Jim Harbaugh signed a contract extension to remain with the program through 2025. Quote, I continue to believe that Jim is the right man to lead our program in pursuit of a Big Ten and college football playoff championship. That's Athletic Director Ward Emanuel, who said that He may be the only one that thinks that. His new contract's going to pay him a base salary of $4 million in 2021. That'll increase to $4.4 million in 2025, and he can earn a maximum bonus of $3.4 million. Things have not been good for Harbaugh in Michigan. There was talk, will he even be back next year the way the season went? But Michigan did fire defensive coordinator Don Brown last month. Six other assistants had contracts expire today. Expect Harbaugh to take this program in a new direction. Hey, he's 49 and 22 in six seasons, but he's 34 and 16 in Big Ten play, and I don't think that that's acceptable for many of the big wigs at Michigan. There's a couple of the big headlines in the national sports front. We have a packed show, so we're going to pause for just a moment. Plenty more coming up when we return. It's right here on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the...
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Going to talk high school basketball. Coming up tonight, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. The Carbon Dinos will take on the South Sevier Rams of the boys basketball court. It's a big Region 12 opener. Carbon looking to piggyback off of what the girls did last night. They beat South Sevier. We'll see if the boys can do it tonight as well. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dinos. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Coach, it's a brand new year, 2021, and it kind of feels like a fresh start tonight because here we have the Region 12 opener, and I think when you look at things front to back, not a bad non-region portion for you guys to get things rolling, but in the same sense, I'm sure it could have been a little bit better, especially the last outing against Judge Memorial. Still, I feel there's probably plenty of positives for you guys to build off of now that region plays here.
Yes, for sure. We've been working, and that was a setback for us that last game. I think a lot of that was on us offensively. We missed a lot of shots that normally go for us, and that takes it out of us. It shouldn't, but it does. It was obvious the other night. We talk about the whole preseason. Obviously, you'd like to win them all, but that didn't happen, and now we prepare for this next part, which is a tough region ahead of us.
Every night it's going to be something. Really, the only team that's not in the top five right now in the RPI from Region 12 is Emory, and this is the same team that just took Manti to the brink on the road the other night. Probably should have won that game. They're on the outside of the top 10, but they've proven that they can hang with anyone in the state. So I don't think there's any doubt when you look at the three regions in 3A, Region 12 is going to present a different challenge every single night.
Yeah, no kidding. And we were talking, just even Grand, they had a couple of move-ins that is helping them out really well right now. So haven't seen them on tape yet, but heard some things. So yeah, it's going to be South Sevier is a solid team every year. Emory's going to be scrappy as can be. I have been able to watch two or three of their games just because of the common opponents that I've been scouting. And then San Juan is looking real sharp right now. And they took a loss the other day, but they didn't have their head coach or their point guard. So you know how all the COVID stuff's happening. It's hard to judge some of it, but it's going to be tough, but we should be able to be right in the mix, I'm hoping.
Yeah, and you mentioned the COVID situation, Coach, and I know that over the last, the last two or three months, I mean, things have kind of been up in the air, and it feels like for the first time, any team, I don't care how many games a team played during the non-region portion of their schedule, it seems like now there is some sort of normalcy. We know that we're going to have a league game on Wednesday and Friday. I mean, that's a reoccurring schedule. It's not bouncing here, there. I mean, anywhere when you have your non-region schedule, not knowing if a team's going to test positive for COVID, it just seems like everything now is a tad bit more normal.
I hope so. We do have, I'm not sure if you've even found this out yet, we are making up a game Tuesday with North Sevier, and then ALA was scheduled. It was scheduled on a Wednesday that we had a bye. So, but yeah, after that, we will be in that, and it is nice to be able to have a practice at least in between a game, but we'll have to do that one more week, and then we'll be ready to go. So,
again, Coach Jared Butler, our guest right now with the Carbondale boys basketball team. Coach, let's talk about South Sevier. Tonight's opponent's a team that you are obviously very familiar with. You've seen them a lot during your time at Emory, moving into your time as head coach at Carbon High School. And the one thing that is always certain was South Sevier. You know, it's very difficult to beat them in Monroe, and you know they are going to have shooters. I mean, that is a given every single season with this team.
Yeah, this year on paper they're down, but their two best shooters are a couple of sophomores, and we've watched them over the years. Last year in a younger game, one of them had five. The Tevz kid had five threes in the first quarter. They can do that. They're both quick, these two 10th grade point guards. And then they've got a couple seniors that are solid for them that have seen a lot and have a lot of experience. But the biggest thing for them is just that tradition. It's a great program. It has been for years. But I'm hoping, I like our chances. It's real similar to the Judge team we just saw. So I like our chances tonight if we can pick up a few things on our defense and then obviously every night win that rebound war. But offensively, I'm hoping we come out a little better than we did last game. That should help take care of a few things.
Yeah, there's some nights the ball just doesn't fall. I mean, I think it's really that simple. And going back to the Judge Memorial game, Coach, you guys missed a lot of easy shots, and you would like to chalk that up as to just say it was one of those nights, right? I'm sure from a coach's perspective, looking back on it, that's what you hope. It was just a bad night.
Yeah, I do. And two of our losses, we've had that other Uinta, you know, we've had that. And just when that happens, you have to make sure, okay, then we limit them to at least one shot or none and don't give them those putbacks. And then we scrap all you can on defense. But it was just one of those things, and then when we would miss, they would hit a big shot and we'd make a run, and it was a tough game to see happen. You know, I felt pretty rough about it afterward, thinking, wow, if we see that team again, what's our game plan? But then once I saw the film, I felt way better, because we had some clean, open sets that just didn't fall for us. And majority of the time, we're going to get a few more of those to go. So just have to build on it and move forward. And like you said, it's a fresh start. But the big part of this is if we want a part of this shot at this region championship, you got to take care of this game here at our house tonight. You know, that's an important thing to do, so.
Yeah, that's always kind of been the mindset, right? When at home, especially in a very competitive region where I can see the region champion having two losses this year. That's how competitive I believe this region is going to be. So if you just protect home court and steal a couple of games on the road, you put yourself in a spot to be a region champion.
Yeah, and it's the dynamics of how it's a tough place to go down to San Juan. They usually take care of that. But, I mean, last year we had our chance. Every place, Richfield's very hard to play, as you already said, San Juan. I mean, so it's that's what we have to do, is say, hey, Carbon's a tough place to play. So I'm hoping that can start up and keep going.
Coach, before I let you go, I want to talk about the development of the younger kids. If we look at the so many seniors on this year's team, I mean, you guys have a lot of experience. And sometimes it's easy to overlook the fact that next year, and you don't want to look too far ahead, I get it, but it's easy to forget that next year you're going to have pretty much a whole new look to this basketball team. Now that we get set for region play, are you happy with the way the young kids have developed?
Yeah. We have two sophomores. People might say I'm crazy, but I wouldn't swap these two guards we have for South Sevier's two guards. You know, they're just as quick. They might not shoot as well right now, but Braxton and Chet can get past any of our players in practice, including all of our seniors. And it's something special to watch. And plus, they are pushing Winfrey every day. They're getting up into him and pushing him to be a better player. But the junior class has been a struggle. You know, we've had we still haven't seen Jackson. His back hasn't allowed him, and before the season, he's fighting for a starting spot on this team. I mean, he's a great athlete, all-around basketball player. Ryland had that broken finger and a sore ankle, but he's almost back to right, ready to go, and he's going to help us a lot. He'll help us tonight, you know. So, and then Jordan's coming along. So Paxton's had some great issues. Get that fixed, I hope. And he's a tough kid. He's a great rebounder, and he's a great shooter. So I'm hoping he gets that taken care of. But that's been a struggle because, I don't know if I told you last time, but we have not had a full roster at practice yet this year. That's not normal for a ball team. So,
no, not at all. No, not at all. It has been a weird year, Coach, but as we alluded to, hopefully some normalcy as we get set to go with region play tonight against South Sevier. Coach, lastly, before I let you go, when you look at this game, what has to happen for you guys to come out on top?
I would just say always if we do give them a shot, it's just one, and we take care of that rebound. I would like the game to go our tempo, push it a little more than they're pretty smart with things. They will run when they have a chance. They seem to be a little out of control, if anyone hears that from down there. No disrespect, because I'm sure we've seen that way often too. But I think that could benefit us. I think if we will just, you know, be a little better on offense, we'll be in great shape there. And we should be a tough guard for them. I'm hoping we can utilize a few things that we have, and then just be confident and come out and not let some of the negative things that have happened in a few games and look to the positive things that we've done, and hopefully that'll help us.
Well, Coach, I always appreciate the time. I always enjoy the conversations about Carbon basketball. Again, thank you very much, and best of luck tonight against South Sevier.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. We'll see you.
Again, that's Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball team. Live coverage of that game will air tonight on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, 6:30. That's when the pregame show will begin. Tip-off will follow at 7. We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll talk junior college athletics because, 2 weeks away from the start of the JUCO season. It's coming up next.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
We're going to continue on the local sports front today. A lot of guests, a lot of information to get out today on Drive Time Sports. We just talked high school basketball. We'll now talk junior college athletics. January 22nd. That's a big day for USU Eastern basketball, baseball, softball, volleyball. Lots going to go down, and we're going to talk about everything happening at USU Eastern and the start of the 2021 season. Joining us right now to do that, we have Athletic Director Scott Madsen. Coach, I always look forward to the conversations. I appreciate the time again today.
Hey, anything for you, Jordan. I'm just excited to get on and actually talk about sports that could be happening.
Yeah. It's been so long, Coach, since we've been able to talk about junior college athletics actually happening. A lot of it has been predictions and what may come about, but we now know that here we are about 2 weeks away from the start of the basketball season. I know it's exciting for the men. It's a new era for the men's basketball program. Volleyball, I mean, there's a lot going on there. One of the most successful seasons in school history last year. Women's basketball has a lot of momentum. Same could be said for baseball and softball. I mean, everything is about to get underway, and I know it makes for a very busy time, but again, we are finally getting junior college athletics.
We are. You know, it's been a long journey this last semester, watching these poor kids work out and missing scrimmages. I mean, it's just really great to see them finally getting the opportunity to go out there and showcase their talents a little bit.
Well, let's talk about the schedules, Coach, and I guess it's real simple. Everything begins on January 22nd, so we can talk about those sports and kind of what that entails.
Okay, yep. We start men's and women's basketball January 22nd. We start volleyball January 22nd, and then softball and baseball also have a start date January 22nd. I believe it's the following week that softball starts, and then February 1st, baseball will be headed down to Arizona to play. It's going to be a lot of different days as far as when they play with this many teams combined. I know with volleyball, we run their home games are scheduled for Wednesday and Friday now instead of Thursday, Saturday. And then basketball is going to be the same with Thursday, Saturday games. So, I mean, we're running games at least 4 days a week right now. And these teams are good. We're excited. We have talking with the coaches. I mean, the winning teams from last year that had great success, our men's and, or our women's basketball team, Chelsea feels like she is a better team than she did last year. So I'm excited to see what they can do. And I've been watching them practice and they're good. It's something that we're going to want everybody to come out and watch. And as far as volleyball, Danielle says the exact same thing. She said, this is a better team than we were last year. So I'm excited. I watched a few scrimmages with the volleyball and you know what? They went out and they beat some good teams in the fall during their scrimmages. With men's basketball, we do have that new coach, Coach Bill Evans, a great guy, and he's got his team firing on all cylinders right now. They actually have their first scrimmage next Tuesday at 3:30 to 5:30 here in the BDAC, and they're just playing a preparatory school. And we're excited to see them. They never actually got a game in the spring or in the fall because every time they would, something would happen and COVID would strike and we wouldn't be able to play. So having them be able to start things off next week, and I think they're actually scheduled here for Tuesday and then on the road for Friday and Saturday, we're going to try and get those games on stream live on Facebook Live on our USU Eastern Athletics webpage. But, I mean, we're still in the works on a lot of that stuff. Just kind of depends on how COVID lets us do things. But with baseball and softball, they're excited. They had their season cut short yesterday. We have most of the whole teams back from last year, and we're excited, plus a few new additions that, in talking with the coaches, could make the difference. So I'm excited to see how it goes. Soccer's been pushed back to start April 2nd, men's and women's soccer, and they'll run clear till the first part of June. So, I mean, it's going to be a long, busy spring, but I'm so excited. It kind of gives us something to work for finally.
Yeah, and Coach, when you mention all the sports starting back up, I know baseball, softball, it's a little bit different because the games are being played outside, but has there been any talk of restrictions on the amount of people that will be left or let into the BDAC to watch basketball or volleyball?
Yes, we are restricting. We have to social distance right now. We're going to be, I would guess, between 100 and 200 fans in our stands, just kind of depends. We're setting up a system right now where you'll have to go online and purchase your ticket through a registration. We're currently getting that set up. And then you'll be able to sit there. You'll have to wear masks at all times. I mean, it's kind of the same way things have been going. We're just allowing a few fans to come and watch the game, and hopefully we can eventually get everybody back in there.
Yeah, definitely. And as you talk about all these sports, I know one of the big complications that you and I had talked about months ago, how do you maintain all these sports at once as far as transportation? Is that something that you guys have been able to figure out with ease?
We have, and we were lucky enough to where there were times where we're taking vans, a few extra vans here and there, but we were able to schedule everything this spring where we weren't on the road all five teams at one time. So it worked out really good that way. We were able to schedule just enough of everything when you run into those region tournaments, because right now we play our volleyball and basketball region tournament in Richfield this year, and it's all on the same week. So those vehicles are gone for that whole week. So that kind of threw a wrinkle in things, but it was able to work itself out, and we were able to figure it out somehow.
Again, Coach Scott Mattson, Athletic Director at USU Eastern, our guest right now. Coach, I'm glad you brought up the region championship tournament for both volleyball and basketball taking place at the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield. That's a neutral site, a little bit different than what we've seen in years past, where it rotates from gym to gym with the schools within the conference. What was the idea behind the neutral site this year for the conference?
You know, I think we were just kind of limiting the spread a little bit, trying to make it as central in a bubble type scenario as we possibly could as athletic directors. The presidents were involved and really wanted that single site, and it happened in baseball and softball. Right now they're both scheduled for Las Vegas to have their region tournament. Both sports are. It was a little bit easier with basketball and volleyball, where volleyball is going to be ran on Tuesday, Wednesday, and basketball is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. softball and baseball. With Vegas right now, that's kind of up in the air because they don't allow fans. I'm not even sure if they'll be allowed to play right now. It's just one of those things that there's just so many unknowns. But that was a big step for us. I mean, to have a region tournament this close and to be able to have both teams, all three teams there at that one location, it's a big deal for us. We can keep everybody centralized and kind of contain what we're able to.
Yeah, and for those who have never been to the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield, it's a beautiful facility. It's perfect for, the high school basketball tournament has been there on a regular basis. I mean, it's perfect for these types of events.
It is, and everyone was, I mean, there was no questions when we said where we were trying to have the region tournament.
Coach, if we continue to talk about what's happening at USU Eastern, again, right now, the kids, they're back at campus. I know I talked to Coach Evans a couple of weeks ago. He said it was well-deserved for these student-athletes to be able to leave campus and collect their thoughts and get a lengthy break before they come back, because it is going to be such a condensed grind once things get off and rolling. As far as COVID restrictions at the school, practices, the BDAC facilities, what are we looking at right now as far as anything that could not only affect the student-athletes but the public as well with the BDAC?
So right now, we'll start with the student athletes. We tested every one of them when they got back before we started allowing them to play or do anything that way. So we're good moving forward that way. With the public, our weight rooms are still open. Unfortunately, the locker rooms aren't yet. I'm hoping to get those open in the next little bit, but it's just waiting for somebody to say yes in that scenario. But we are open from 4:30 a.m. till 7 p.m. And then on the 19th, when they start school back up, we'll go back to our 4:30 till 9 o'clock p.m. time.
Okay, so that's as of right now, the BDAC, it is open to the public, but it will open up a little bit more, I guess, longer range than once school starts back up.
Yeah, a couple more hours on the night side of it, and that's on the 19th when they bring the students back to campus.
Coach, for someone who's been around for as long as you have within the game itself, and now from the athletic director's standpoint, when you take a look at the way all of this has come together, how would you explain it to someone that doesn't really know the ins and outs of it? Because it just seems like an exhausting workload.
It is. You know, just everything that's had to change. We've had to rewrite basically every protocol that we've had on that in the athletic department. Just the way we go to games, the way we can eat after games, before games. We have restrictions for our athletes where basically we're keeping them in a bubble the whole time. Parents, I mean, that's the hard thing, is these young athletes that come and you want to have their parents come and watch them and be able to hang out with them. We have to keep them separated because of the restrictions. You know, I mean, we're trying to make this season go as perfect as we can. And obviously there's going to be some hiccups here and there, but in order for us to keep playing, we have to keep that separation, at least for now. And, move everything forward. And most parents understand, and most fans understand that, you know what, the fact that these kids are actually being able to play this year is just amazing. It's a miracle is what the way I kind of look at it, because throughout the whole fall, all we hear is it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for the spring. And then the NJCAA comes out and gives us this year back, which means none of these athletes that are playing this year have a year of eligibility charged to them. And so we kind of had to restructure things that way. Even the eligibility side of things, there's been changes as far as last spring when it first hit, how much of an effect that had on these student athletes on the academic side that, I mean, they were given leniency on about everything you can imagine because we ended up going everything online. And I think our kids are finally kind of getting in sync with that, as far as our student athletes are getting in sync with school-wise and how everything works and the changes. And it's just one of those things that you have to basically rewrite everything and teach everybody to do it. And there's going to be people that are upset, but, you know, as long as they're playing, that's been the biggest word on that we're hearing back is, I'll do whatever I need to so I can play this game. And that's something that I'm willing to put in the extra hours for. And I know my staff, who's amazing, they've saved us throughout this whole pandemic and rewriting everything. And I mean, we'd send something up and get it back and have to redo everything. And even at the BDAC level, the community that is dealing with us closing and having to open back up for a day here or there and then being closed for 2 weeks, I mean, they've just been wonderful and working with us and kind of just moving forward, and we're hoping that now that we're up and moving and kind of have everything situated, we won't have to close again.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of work has gone into it. I know it's an exciting time. A lot of people are also looking forward to some sort of normalcy, and that comes with USU Eastern Athletics for sure. Athletic Director Scott Mattson joining us over the phone. Coach, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time again today. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach Scott Mattson, Athletic Director at USU Eastern, talking about everything that's happening as far as JUCO athletics in the local area. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back. How about some NBA basketball talk? I'm really enjoying the NBA season out of the gates because there hasn't been great basketball, but it's been compelling. We'll talk NBA right after this. Drive Time Sports.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We do have the return of the Utah Jazz tonight. They'll travel on the road to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Utah trying to recover after back-to-back losses to Brooklyn and New York. Now, tonight's game will not air here on KOAL due to high school basketball. Emory will take on Richfield tonight. Utah, however, will return to KOAL next week once the Jazz get a little bit of a break. But again, brutal trip. Now you got to wrap it up with Milwaukee tonight. We'll talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jabari Davis, kind enough to take out the time to join us all the time from Dunks and Discourse podcast. Jabari, thank you once again.
Jordan, I appreciate you having me. Thanks again.
Absolutely. I was talking about the Jazz and the fact they get Milwaukee tonight, and we had a long conversation about the Jazz on the show today, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the fact of the matter remains, this was a pretty brutal road trip for Utah. It started with a victory over San Antonio, back-to-back losses with the Nets and the Knicks, and then tonight they get the Milwaukee Bucks. Not an easy four-game stand.
Yeah, it's really tough, and you know, at least from what I've seen from, I guess, the 1,000 miles out, it seems like they're having trouble, you know, defending guards, especially, you know, scoring guards and bigger ones at that. And I guess, you know, there's a premium for defending, you know, guys that can defend those, you know, those types of players around the league. But I'm really interested in seeing like how they remedy that, because obviously, you know, while, you know, Conley is going to give effort, I don't necessarily see him as a, you know, the bigger guard or bigger scorer, the big scoring stopper. And Mitchell simply has not shown to be that guy. So I am intrigued to see how these, you know, how this next stretch goes for the Jazz.
Yeah, and one of the things that we don't talk about a whole lot in the NBA, it's division talk. We always talk conferences, but we rarely bring up divisions. But when you look at the Northwest Division, the Jazz right now at 4-4, tied with Portland at 4-4. You also have OKC and Denver in this division, and you know, we can pretty much just throw Minnesota out. When you look at it right now, is Portland a legitimate threat to Utah in this division?
I think right now none of those teams have kind of separated themselves. A lot of folks were significantly higher on Portland coming into the year than I was. I thought that they would be a playoff team. I thought that they would be in that mix, obviously. But you know, there was talk that they would be a number one seed or potentially coming out of the West. And quite frankly, I just never saw that. I still see, you know, kind of all of those teams huddled together. Denver would have been the team that I might have thought would separate themselves, but honestly, as of right now, it seems as though a lot of teams are still working themselves into shape or working themselves, you know, like, you know, just getting the players to, you know, be on the same page. We had a lot of teams that, you know, they had a lot of player movement, and you know, it's very obvious that adjustments are still being made.
Jabari, if we stick in the Western Conference, I want to talk about Golden State, and I want to revisit a conversation that we had earlier this week and the difference that Draymond Green would make. I know that there was talk that Steph wouldn't be Steph without Klay, but Klay would still look like Klay without Steph. And to me, that's talk any which way around. It's absolutely ludicrous. But I am starting to gain the idea that maybe we undervalue Draymond Green and what he could mean to a team like Golden State. This looks like a completely different squad with him on the floor.
I will be unequivocal about it. You know, we all kind of knew, and it's funny because we used to, some of us used to jokingly say it, or if we were trying to troll, you know, Steph fans, the Steph better crowd, you know, we would point to Dre being the actual heart and soul of that team. While he's not the best player, and of course I'm not in any way saying that, he is a legitimate Hall of Famer, and by the end of his career it will show out to be that. But he may not be the best player, but he is the heart and soul. He's the straw that stirs that drink. And if he's healthy, he's in that lineup, they are a legitimate team as long as everybody else buys in, you know, the rest of the guys can play a little bit of defense and at least keep guys away from stuff just a little bit, you know by making a corner three every so often. I have to take my hat off to him because I honestly thought at this stage in his career that Golden State probably made a mistake by not looking to move on from him. But obviously he's shown that if he's healthy, he's in that lineup, they're a force.
Yeah, they're a different team. There's no doubt. And tonight they get the Clippers. Early on, I hate to call gauge games in the NBA, especially when you have a 72 or 82 game season. But I am interested in this game for that very reason. I do believe it's a gauge game, not only for Golden State, but also for the Clippers, because if you look at the top of the Western Conference, I believe there are two or three teams that will separate themselves from the pack, and I wonder where Golden State fits into this whole equation. I think tonight's one of those games that we can look at and say, okay, it's a gauge. You can learn a lot from the eye test in this game tonight.
I tend to agree with you. While there's no such thing as a must win or anything like that, especially at this stage, you're right. This can be a measurement game. This can be a gauge game. You can assess where you are. If Golden State's able to go out there and following the loss with last night or the other night to them and turn it around and figure out a way to beat them, then you may feel good about yourself. But if you're Golden State and you go down 25 again and you still end up losing by double digits, then maybe you have to reassess, even with the praise that we just deservedly gave Draymond.
Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now. He's co-host of the Dunks and Discourse podcast. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Jabari, I know that if you're an NBA fan, you almost have to have the league pass in some form or another, right? So if you're not watching your favorite team, which you're a Laker fan, obviously here in the state of Utah, I get a lot of Jazz fans. If you're not watching your team, have you come across a team yet that you're entertained with and would say, okay, tune in and watch this team early on because they've been that fun to watch?
There have been a couple, actually. Atlanta's still fun. I went into the year, and the folks were really high on them, and I'm usually like a sit back and wait type guy, and you have to show me. I want positive things for that fan base, but I'm legitimately happy for them, and they are fun to watch. Really around the league, like you said, if you're an NBA addict like we are, you tend to find yourself flipping around. I'm going to say this. While I do not think the Knicks are going to be the world beaters that some Knicks fans are suddenly expecting, it is fun to see them playing well. And specifically, it's fun to look, the Knicks fans know they're going to be the butt of every joke anyhow, but it's fun for them. It's fun to finally have them in a position where they can say, hey, wait a second. We've got some actual players over here now, and it might actually turn into something good.
Yeah, look, this is a complete... This team was a complete dumpster fire 2 to 3 years ago, and when you look at the changes that have gone through, I'm not necessarily the biggest Tom Thibodeau fan, but as I was watching this game the other night with the Jazz, one thing became apparent. Tom Thibodeau is the right man for this job. I mean, you look at who they have out there on the floor, Julius Randle. Julius Randle's defense has not been good since he came into the league out of Kentucky. We've got to watch Julius Randle an awful lot, Jabari. We can attest to that. But he's playing better defense than what I believe he ever has. To me, that's a direct correlation to Tom Thibodeau. I can say the same thing with RJ Barrett. You can look at a Mitchell Robinson. The point I'm trying to make is, for a culture shock and a culture change, I'm starting to think that Tom Thibodeau was exactly what this franchise needed. Still very early, I understand that, but when you just look at the way things are working in New York, I don't see any reason why this team can't sneak into the playoffs.
So this is going to sound funny, and I am not one of those, you see me on the timeline. I don't go back and say, hey, I told you, but I'm going to do it here for a quick second. Because back in February, when the Tom Thibodeau rumors were out there, I was very clear. I said, hey, I know that we're a little bit down on him, and I know that things didn't end well in Minnesota, but I actually think that would be a good fit. And the reason specifically is, if you don't have a guy like Tom Thibodeau or Stan Van Gundy in a dual role, and you have them just focusing on coaching, the guys have to be like, look, we know that they know the game. You know what I'm saying? So then it's just a matter of whether you can get them to buy in. The Knicks had, the Knicks, just as you stated, they were a dumpster fire for several years. So the reality is this: they had no reason not to buy in, and they had a roster full of young guys. So I do agree with you. I think it was the perfect fit for them. I'm not predicting 4 seed, 5 seed, or anything like that. But hey, if they can stay healthy. And, of course, there are those questions, too, because of the way that Tom will grind his guys down. But if they can stay healthy, I see no reason why they can't be in that mix. So it's so far, I know that we all like to fast forward to the postseason and just get to the games that quote-unquote matter. But so far, it's been a very pleasurable early season.
Yeah, and I'll mention one more name, because you and I were talking about Markelle Fultz in Orlando before we hopped on the air, and we can get to that in just a moment. But I'm going to throw Alfred Payton's name out there as well. This is a guy that has been in the league now 7 or 8 seasons, if I'm not mistaken. He's played quite well so far for the New York Knicks. And again, I can correlate a lot of the success that I've seen over 8 games to Tom Thibodeau and what he brings to the table. Payton's another one of those guys, Jabari.
Yeah, look, Payton's one of those guys where, at least initially, it seemed like a lot of fans or NBA Twitter or whatever wanted to just go ahead and write him off after he wasn't just immediately great in Orlando. But I always tried to remind folks, guys, look at the franchise in Orlando, especially at that time. Now, right now, hey, hats off to him, and I know you said we're going to get to him shortly, so I won't go into it. But at the time when he played there, that was an absolute dumpster fire. So I am also one that appreciates when a young player or just a player in the league shows progress or shows stick-to-itiveness that it takes to, maybe not necessarily be a star, but do whatever, continue to work on their game, continue to expand their what they can do and stick around. And Alfred Payton is honestly a testament to guys just like him.
We'll talk about the Magic here for a moment, because they were a great story. Look, they still are a great story. Here they are at 6-2 right now in the Eastern Conference, keeping pace with the red-hot 76ers at 7-2. But the fact of the matter is, Markelle Fultz goes down. He is now out for the year. He recently just locked up one of those long-term deals. Things have not worked out for Markelle Fultz for a variety of reasons, especially everything that went down in Philadelphia. And you can go back to that draft. Revisionist history is what it is. But when you look at the current situation of Markelle Fultz, Jabari, you and I agreed off-air talking, he doesn't get that extension if it happens after the injury, right? It was perfect timing for Markelle Fultz. I don't know what we see when we come back. This is a young guy that's been riddled with injuries, but he was finally coming into his own.
Yeah, honestly, it just stinks, man. I hate it. Look, injuries, we all know, it's cliche to say, but, they're a part of sports. We recognize when you have athletes with the incredible, physical ability that these guys have, doing things at the speed and the height and everything that they're doing, that's going to happen. But you just hate it. You hate when it happens to the same guy, whether it's an ankle or a shoulder or a knee or whatever the case may be, they just continue to go through it. So, to the point, that we both made before the show, I'm very happy for him that he was able to get that extension beforehand, because like you said, you don't know what he's going to look like coming back. And quite frankly, if he were a guy that was, 4 years into the league however many years is into the league, and he's got 4 injuries in 6 years, there's a chance that he never would, throughout the course of his career, no matter how long he played when he returned, there's a chance that he would have never seen any sort of compensation like that. So from that perspective, while I feel for him, I'm at least happy for him that, the finances are taken care of. Now it's just a matter of, work yourself back, and I'm going to be rooting for you.
Jabari, let's end with this. 3-4 years ago, this would have been a marquee matchup of the NBA. Thankfully, the hype around it has kind of died down, but we do get Lonzo Ball versus LaMelo Ball tonight. You go back to when Lonzo was in L.A., the storyline would have written itself at that point in time, right? You couldn't turn on the TV without hearing about LaVar Ball or Lonzo Ball or LaMelo Ball or LiAngelo Ball. Finally, we have two balls going toe-to-toe in an actual NBA game, and it feels to me like it's kind of slid under the radar.
It slid under the radar, but the truth of the matter is, I'm a nerd for this type of stuff. I love when the Holiday Brothers play against one another or with one another. I like when siblings kind of go at one another. And, as much as I was outspoken about, while I appreciated, the what he was attempting, he may not have been my favorite person. I'm talking, especially by the end of it, with LeVar. I think you do need to tip your cap. I'm speaking generally, not you, but we do need to tip your cap. He's got two boys playing in the NBA and competing against one another tonight. Regardless of what happens with LiAngelo, and I wish him the best, even though I don't necessarily see him having an NBA career. That's pretty darn good. That is pretty darn good. That's pretty exceptional.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, really, this guy has 3 kids that have signed contracts in the NBA.
Yeah,
think about that.
Dare I say he was right? Even though he went yard barker and he was going, I did something right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to get one to the NBA. It's almost impossible to get one to the NBA. This guy did it 3 times. Yeah, we get the Pelicans and the Hornets tonight. Jabari Davis again at the Dunks and Discourse podcast. Jabari, I always look forward to the conversations. Before I let you go, please tell the listeners where they can find more of you.
Well, like I always say, it is a pleasure to be on here. I love talking hoops with you, man. Thanks for having me. I'm simple. Find me on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. The podcast, you can, you know, pretty much anywhere you got. No, actually, anywhere you get, you know, your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all of those good things, Google Music, Dunks and Discourse. We have a good time, me and my guy, Josh Everly. We do it either once or twice a week. Sometimes we're lazy, and we only do it once, but generally you'll get two episodes a week. So, you know, if you like what you hear, you know, do us a favor and subscribe and reach out to us and let me know on the timeline.
Hey, Jabari, it's always a pleasure. I know we'll do it again real soon. Thank you again for the time. Enjoy your weekend.
You do the same. Thank you.
Always great to get Jabari Davis on the show. And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Do not forget Emory High School basketball coming up tonight. Live coverage at 6:30, tip off at 7. And you can listen to Carbon High School boys basketball on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Likewise, 6:30 is when pregame coverage will begin. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. I am out.